Thankful for the inspiration of the Lord this week. I trust that I'll be able to communicate some of that today. Why are you here? Why are you here? How are you here? Why are you alive? Are you alive this morning because you've been eating food and that's what keeps you alive? Are you alive because your parents married and you were born to their union? Why are we here? I was thinking this week, the Lord spoke to me one morning. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Speaking today, I want to talk to you about the power of God's Word. But as I was, the Lord woke me up one morning this week, and He gave me these thoughts about the very source and the very reason why I'm alive. And it really opened up some things and inspired and transformed my thoughts for the day. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 begins like this. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And it's just like the Lord gave me a picture of him not only speaking this world into existence, which we know he did, and let's just look at that just for a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3, there's some thoughts there that came along with this other verse that I had. Verse 5, I want to get down in the middle of the verse. It says, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And that's one of the first verses that sometimes little children memorize is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And all of those verses of creation begin with, and God said, and God said, and God said. And this verse tells us that it was by the word of God that the earth is and the heavens are. And the Lord speaking to me this week said, it's not your bread, it's not anything else but my word that you're living today. And as I began to say a while ago, it's like the Lord gave me a picture of him not only speaking the world into existence, but the Lord speaking to me and to my life and saying, live. You live. You live. By his word, we're here. By him speaking and his voice coming out, we are declared to live today. Acts chapter 17 also brings this out. Acts 17 and 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. So it's because the Lord's saying to you, the day that you were formed, the day that you were born, you live. And you live. So we're here because the Word of God said to live. And every day of your life, the Lord, if you wake up this morning, and we all did, the Lord said to you this morning, live. This is your day to live. You just have this day, and some of us may not have part of this day. I'm reminded of a year ago. Sister Emma being here, right back there on that seat. We didn't know that in just a few hours, her life would be gone on this earth. But you woke up this morning, the Lord said to you, live. His word is why you live today, is because he spoke, and that's why we're here. That word is powerful. The word of God. I'm thinking now about our spiritual life. 1 Peter chapter 1, it's by the Word of God that you and I were actually born again to new life. Not just your physical life, not just this world, the earth and the water and the sky above. All of those are held in place by God's command. We sing that, don't we? By the Word of God, the worlds were made and are held in place by His command. Not only that this morning, but it's the Word of God that you have spiritual life this morning. Not your own efforts. Not simply because you came and heard the gospel and believed. We know that's an integral part. Very important. But actually, the reality is this morning that you and I have spiritual life. We've been born again because God said, live. And look at this, 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, let's start at verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, as your father and your mother, but of incorruptible seed, a living seed, an everlasting seed in you. That is the Word of God. That is why you're born again. That's why you're alive and made a new creature in Christ Jesus, because the seed that was put in you is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Then he quotes a scripture from Isaiah 40. For all flesh is as grass. And in Isaiah 40, it said, a voice came to me and said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And this is what he was supposed to cry. And this is, what's the significance of this cry? There's some truth here that he wanted the messenger to say. All flesh is as grass. All flesh is as grass. Now, what is he saying here? He's giving us the picture of grass that's grown up and soon dies, a very short lifespan. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. I looked out this morning and saw some of my flowers. They've been beautiful all summer, but some of them got nipped by the frost. Now, some of them made it through it. Just amazing to me. Some of them, right beside them, is one that died, and one here is still living. But I looked at that, and I thought, yes, the scripture is true. Beautiful flowers, but they've been cut down. Their life was very short. That flower will never be here again. There will be other flowers, but that one's gone. But I think really more than what he's talking about, I mean, more than just saying that the flower represents a man, the flower to me represents, well, let's look back here in Isaiah where he quoted from. He called it the goodliness of man. It fades. It's like the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. Man dies. All of man's efforts, all of man's achievements, the good things about man. I looked the word goodliness up, and it talks about favor. It talks about piety, pious acts, man's religious acts that he tries to do. Those things fade, but you know what really stands? The Word of God stands. When you and I'm trying to bring this out as I see, our efforts, our good, our righteousness, our trying, As hard as we can try, sometimes we emphasize that to people. Just struggle. Just work through this. Just believe. Just fight. And yeah, that's true. But I want to tell you something. We don't live solely by our own efforts. We live because the Word of God says live. Your spiritual life is in you today because you've believed God's Word. God's Word is what gives you that spiritual life. God's Word is what birthed you to new birth. God's Word is what keeps you. God's Word is what we lean in. It's what we depend on. It's why we live. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Who used that scripture in a time of temptation? Jesus himself used that to face the devil when the devil said, you're going to die if you don't eat. Essentially, that's what he was telling Jesus. Now, if you don't make these stones into bread like I'm telling you to, you're going to die. Jesus just calmly looked at him and said, man doesn't live by bread. Man lives by every word of God. That's why I'm not living today because of the food I'm eating, but I'm living because God said, live. The word of God to me today is live. So we live and we are born again today because of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. He says, for all flesh is as grass. It's very temporary. It's soon cut down. One scripture says, it's soon cut down and we fly away. That's the way this life is. Death and sickness and disease and accidents and all of those things are part of this temporary life. It's soon cut down and we fly away. But he says, the grass withers, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I'm thinking now about, there's some other scriptures I would like to look at. I mentioned the one there where Jesus, in his time of temptation, and this is something for us to remember. You live by God's word. You're saved because God said, live in me. And when you face temptation from the devil, the best way to face temptation is from your arsenal of God's word. Don't deal with the devil in your own strength, but face him with God's word. Even Christ, the Son of God, he only used what is written to face the devil. And that's what we need to do. God's word is eternal. It's powerful. It's alive. Several scriptures in the Old Testament, he said, I'll make my word like a fire in your bones. I'll make it like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. The word of God is life. It's living water. It is the source of life. It is light. So when we are facing the enemy, face him with God's word. Stand on God's word. It will never fail. God's word endures. That's how we face our temptations. What about, I'm thinking of the man there in the New Testament who came to Jesus. Actually, he didn't come to Jesus, but he sent his servant, I believe it was, to say, I'm not worthy. Let's find that one. Luke chapter 7. In verse 2, a certain centurion's servant. Now, a centurion was a Roman soldier who had 100 soldiers under him. So he was like an officer. Very important man. He had a servant who was dear unto him and was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him. Now, these servants or these friends, these Jewish elders, had a lot of good things to say about the centurion. But when the centurion talked about himself, it was a different story. And that's really the way it should be, really. We don't commend ourselves. Let other people praise you and tell your story. But really, each of us can just say, I'm not worthy. The other people said he was worthy. They said that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. That's what his friends told Jesus. This man is worthy for you to heal his servant. This is what he's done. Then Jesus went with them. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, what was the perception that he had of Jesus? Jesus later said, I've not seen a faith like this in all of Israel. This is a Roman soldier, an officer. And he had insights into who Jesus was that no one else had at that time. Because here's what he said. For I also, those two words tell you, he was comparing what he felt about Jesus to his own self. He compared Jesus as like being an officer who ruled over other men. He put him up there in a place of authority. He said, I also am a man set under authority. So he had officers above him. Generals. He was under a general. But he was a centurion, a captain over 100 soldiers. But he had a general over him. And he recognized that Jesus was one set under authority too. Who was Jesus' authority? Who gave Jesus orders and Jesus did them? His Father, God. So God, he knew that Jesus was sent from God, the Father. The other Jews didn't recognize that. But this Roman recognized, you're a man set under authority. And he said, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and unto another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. You see these two things that he saw about Jesus that no one else could see. Lord, help us to see this about God. Do you and I this morning have this belief about Jesus Christ that if he says it, it's got to happen? That's what he had. He just said, Lord, if you say it, it will be. Lord, help us to have this faith this morning. Jesus heard these things. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He turned him about and he looked at the people and he said, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. I don't know when Jesus said the word, but we know that he did. We know that he did say to the sickness, go, and it had to go. And he said to health, come, and it had to come. Oh, Lord, help us to have that kind of faith in Jesus' word. Another example of one of his disciples had a great faith in his word. Let me just find that one now. It may take me just a minute to find this scripture. Well, maybe I can have some help. I'm looking for the place where the disciples were fishing and Jesus told them to put their nets on the other side. And Peter said, well, Lord, we've been fishing all night. Somebody help me find that one. Luke chapter 5 and Verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So here the picture is that Jesus is sitting in one of the boats. And you know how water can carry words really well. You can talk on the water and you can hear. Anyway, I'm sure Jesus didn't really need that. But anyway, I've often thought about it that way. That the people on the land heard Jesus talking to them from out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Go fishing, Peter. And what did Peter say? Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. How many times in our lives there will be impossible situations, and then the Lord will speak to us and say, I want you to do this. And you'll say, but I've tried this before. I have done this before and nothing worked here. The Lord is saying, this is my word. I want you to do this because I'm saying this. I believe that if we'll do things according to his word, when he speaks to us, we be faithful to do it in faith. Just like Peter, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And what happened? What happened, Levi? Did he get some fish? When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. They had so many fish that it broke the net. That's what will happen when we do things with a heart full of faith in God's word. It's not us. It's his word. It's not our efforts. It's God's word. In all of this, in your daily life, you live today because of God's word. You're saved today because of God's word. You defeat the devil today because of God's word. You and I, now our responsibility then is to learn to know God's word. I believe we had a testimony not too long ago here in our prayer meeting that God had come and just sat down in the car with this person and began to take his word and one after another, scriptures, and unfold the word to him. Now that experience was only possible because there had been somebody taking God's word at times when it didn't seem inspired, maybe. At times whenever it was just reading, just duty of reading, but take those words and read them. Maybe commit them to memory. But put these words in your arsenal of tools, in your tool bag. Put them in your bank account. Take God's word and put it into your mind so that there can come times of refreshing from the Lord, and he will take one of those words and he'll use it and apply it in your life and inspire it. The inspired word of God in our hearts is life to us. It is source of strength to us. It is the way that we keep going is when the Lord says, I had it, just an incident in my personal life where I knew I was having some trouble in my body because of the injury that I had to my head 10 years ago. And I was beginning to have a tremor in this arm. And I thought, it's probably because I've got some brain damage or something. I don't know. But I would hold the arm up and it would just start shaking on me. And so, I began to seek the Lord. It was time to go to camp meeting in Missouri. And I thought, well, I really want the Lord to heal that. But I want there to be a definite inspiration for it. If the Lord doesn't, if it's not His will to heal that, I'm okay with that. But if it is His will to heal that, I believe that He can give me some of His word. And so I began to seek the Lord for some time before we went to meeting. And especially when we got to the meeting, I said, it's almost time for the day where they anoint the sick. And I want to know, Lord, I'm not even going to go up and be anointed if it's not Your will at this time to take this away. So, Lord, I want You to show me. Let me know if it's Your will for me to be anointed at this time. Now, as I said the other day, we can't put God in a box. He hasn't always worked this way, but this one time the Lord maybe humored me, might say it that way, and He was merciful to my request, and He did give me a scripture. He gave me the scripture, I know which one it was still today, but He gave me the scripture that says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And so I felt like that the Lord gave me that knowing that He was going to hear and answer prayer for this condition. And whenever I went down for prayer, I went down with a full assurance of faith because of God's word. And I would encourage us today, and I'll have to say, the end of that story is that the Lord took the tremor away. And He also put a feeling of strength into my head at that time. And He helped me with the real severe headaches that I had been having. And for a long time after that, I didn't even have a headache for many, many months. Now, I've had some since. And I've learned to say to the Lord, Lord, You healed that. And I rebuke this pain because this is something that You did already for me. So I'm going to trust You and rebuke this. And the Lord's helped me at times with that. We use God's word when you're fighting your spiritual battles. Use God's word in your prayers. Ask for God to give you a promise from His word. Search His word. Look to the promises of God and say, Lord, if You can give me Your word, then I know I'll have the strength to whip this enemy or whatever. David said, Lord, by Your commandments You've made me wiser than my enemies. The Lord can give you a commandment or a word that you can stand on in your trials, whatever they are. When you get a trial, when you have something happening to you, begin to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a word. And when the Lord gives you a word, and it may be one that comes to your mind during prayer, it may be something that you open up to. You may be driving down the road and see a sign that says, have faith in God. You can take that as your word. Whatever it is, however the Lord gives it to you. Somebody may call and say, the Lord told me to give you this scripture. And you take that as God's word, just as powerful as when He spoke this world into existence. He is giving you a word for your need. You can stand on it. It will be what is sufficient for your need. It will help you. It will strengthen you. And it will help. It will fight your battle for you. We do not live by bread alone. We do not fight our spiritual battles by any other way than by God's word, by every word of God which comes out of His mouth. I'm thinking about that quality of God's word being eternal, something that will never fail. Something that can't be taken away. The grass can be taken away. Our physical lives can be taken away. Our health can be taken away. Our minds can be taken away. Did you know that if you lay there without a mind, God's word could still be the source of your life? There's still something in there. Your soul can still exist on God's word. Lord, help us to believe this morning, that we live by God's word alone. And I'm thinking about what He told Martha about her sister Mary. You remember that? I think it's in Luke. Chapter 10. Martha was pretty annoyed with her sister because she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word, while Martha was trying to get a big meal. And she was wanting Mary to come and help her so bad that she told Jesus to tell her. She came and bossed Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we women are like that. We think we can boss the Lord. But you can't boss the Lord. Anyway, Jesus, he said her name twice, kind of in a loving rebuke. Martha, Martha. And he said, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Now, whether he was saying, Martha, you don't have to fix five dishes, just fix one. Some people say that's what he was telling her. Just fix one dish, don't worry about all the other. Or he was telling her, and I'd rather say it like this, the many, many things in life that we get all bent out of shape about, there's only one thing that's really necessary. And what is it? It's for us to get a hold of God's Word. And he said, one thing is needful. I'd like to believe that that's what he was saying here. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And I love these last few words, which shall not be taken away from her. Why? Because God's Word endures forever. When you and I have God's Word, nothing can take it away from us. You see this song that we sang? It said it was sung by the saints 300 years ago. Actually, when that was printed, it was printed in 1902. So, 400 years ago. That song was sung in the caves and in the places where the saints were. They probably didn't have Bibles. What kind of word did they have? They had it in their hearts. And it was not taken away from them, even though they were being pursued and hunted and killed and persecuted, imprisoned. Wives ripped away from their husbands, children, babies ripped out of mothers' arms and killed before their eyes. This is what was happening to the people who sang that song. God's Word could never be taken away from them. The song is a testimony to that. My Lord lives with me. He walks with me. He tells me what I ought to do and what I ought to try. He bears my burdens. He lives with me. God's Word could not be taken away from those people. The Catholics tried. They tried. Do not say that. Do not read that. They tried to stamp out God's Word. But what is the saying? It said, truth stamped to earth will rise again. It always rises again because God's Word endures forever. That good part shall not be taken away. There's lots of things that we have that can be taken away. But remember, heaven and earth could pass away. But Jesus said, my word will not pass away. His word is why we live. There is no other reason why we live. And I'm thinking today, if these things are true, and they are, I believe them and I believe you believe them. If these things are true, and the Lord has said to you today, live, what is our response to be to that word that he has given us today, live? What do you think? How do I answer that word? Obviously, I woke up this morning, you woke up this morning, and God has given us a day. How does he want us to live? That was my thought whenever the Lord gave me all of this. And I began to pray and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me when you're letting me know it's because of my word that you're living today? And I began to say, Lord, if you say live, then I shall live. I shall live today. I shall live. I'll breathe deep. I'll stand up straight. I'll look out with eyes that see. I'll hear. I'll listen. I'll speak the way you want me to speak. I'll live in you, Lord. I'll believe. I'll live joyfully today. I'll go at my task with a will. I will live because you said, today you live. That was, like I said, it transformed my day that day. I got so much done, and I just felt like that the Lord just drew back a curtain and gave me an insight. This is really why you're living, because I said to live. So if I said to live, live with all your might. Live with all your heart. Enjoy it. I said, yes, I'm going to. Well, I trust that that will bless you today too, that you live because of God's word today. You have every right and reason and purpose and motive to live joyfully, because the Lord said, I want you to live. One scripture says, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And that word walk, it means to walk vigorously. The child of God has spiritual and physical life today because God has said to, we don't have to live in the molly grubs. We don't have to live with our heads down. We can live and walk vigorously because we've heard that word that says, child, live. Well, I think that's all the Lord gave me. Lord, bless these things to our hearts and minds is my prayer.